Happy Monday. Welcome back to your work week. Brady Bowman with you here on K-Man's In Focus. And right now in studio across from me, we got Dr. Katie Delph. She's a clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at K-State. Happy Monday.
Thanks. Happy Monday to you, too.
How are you doing? Is it a good Monday so far? Transitioning well from the weekend? Or
so far, so good. Yeah.
So far, so good. Yeah.
It's always a quick transition.
It is. It is. I got my In Focus coffee ready, so that's always key. That's always key. Yep. Just any day, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't matter. Got to get that coffee going. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about West Nile virus.
Yeah, I thought that would be a timely topic for today. Mostly because we're coming up on the season when we see West Nile virus in horses. So especially making sure that everyone's aware of it and how we can help prevent disease in horses so that we don't have to treat it.
Do want to remind folks that phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. If you have any questions, comments, want to get involved in the conversation, and especially if you have anything, any questions equine related, well, we got an equine expert right
Definitely.
Here. So this is the person to call and ask those questions too. And you said this is a time of the year where you notice West Nile more. And why is it this time of the year that you notice that more?
So we notice it more because the mosquitoes transmit it. So birds are the amplifying host, what we call, and so mosquitoes bite them and then get the virus and then are able to transmit it to horses. And horses are what we call dead end hosts, so they can't, like a mosquito can't bite them and transmit it to another horse or human even. But it does cause disease in horses, and what we see most commonly to start with is just a horse that's a little bit depressed and lethargic and has a fever. And then sometimes it'll progress to where they have neurologic symptoms. So sometimes that can be their gait is uncoordinated. Sometimes they'll be really weak. And sometimes they'll even be so weak or uncoordinated to the point where they can't stand up. And that's always a bad prognosis for a horse if they can't stand up. So we always want to try to prevent that and then also hopefully keep them from getting to that point if they do have the disease. So especially in the fall time, the mosquitoes are able to transmit a little bit more once it's been hot through the summer and they're at a higher population. So we tend to see it kind of starting in July, even through October or so. So that's why, again, it's kind of this timely time of the year.
Here with Dr. Katie Delph. She's a clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at Kansas State University. And as far as some of the numbers that you've been seeing this year, how is this stacking up, I guess, the previous years? Are we at a high concentration level, low? What's kind of that makeup?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So thankfully, thus far this year, we haven't seen any cases in horses here in Kansas or at Kansas State. But always kind of in the southeast is the region that tends to see it the most just because they have the highest population of kind of mosquitoes and those diseases even year round. But we also have been seeing it already in like Wisconsin and Montana. So certainly, you know, they have a different geographic region than us, but we tend to think of them as a little bit cooler even. And so I would say we're in this risk period. And so even though we haven't seen it in horses, what we can do is surveillance on mosquitoes. And even in the Midwest so far, they have found West Nile virus in mosquitoes, meaning that then they can transmit it to horses if they have it.
And I do remember hearing a little bit about that maybe about a month ago. I thought that there might have been a slight sort of uptick somewhere in the region. So
definitely.
Even if you're not seeing much with horses around here, it's just like you hear even just a little bit of a case on that, it kind of, your radar's up, I'm sure.
Yep, definitely.
And looking at, look, you said pretty good this year, no cases this year. Were there cases last year at all?
I don't believe that we saw any at Kansas State. I don't remember the exact statistics in Kansas, but definitely a couple years ago we saw a few cases. And mostly when we see cases, it's in horses that aren't vaccinated. So whether that's horses that haven't been vaccinated ever. So a lot of times that would be like imported horses from other countries. So that don't have West Nile virus. And so they have no pre-existing existing immunity and then come here. And especially during this time of year, if they get bit by a mosquito that has it, then they're going to be really at risk. And then even horses, like young horses that have maybe had one series of vaccines but haven't had that booster, we know that they're more at risk as well, just because their immune system hasn't been primed to basically produce more antibodies against the virus once it's in them from the mosquito.
And it sounds like, just kind of thinking back to some of those symptoms that you were mentioning, that if you're not careful, probably depending on the age or just condition of the horse, it probably could be a fatal thing if you're not paying attention.
Yes, it definitely could be. And again, it's especially in those horses that we know aren't vaccinated, and probably in about 25 to 30% of the cases, it can be fatal. Whether that's basically a horse that is down and can't get up and doesn't respond to treatment quick enough, and they get some secondary problems, or a horse that progressively gets worse and then unfortunately succumbs to the disease as well.
Here with Dr. Katie Delft, she's a clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at KSU. Again, 785-537-1350. If you do have any comments or questions. And when we're looking at West Nile virus, it's something that's been around forever. It seems like we've heard more about it maybe the past 10, 15 years. There's been more higher concentration of discussion about that sort of topic. When it comes to maybe just a little history, a little backstory on West Nile virus, what is kind of the origin there as far as, again, it just really feels like it's something the last 10, 15 years we've talked about a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. So it was first introduced in the U.S. like around 1999 or 2000, and it was in like New York on the East Coast initially, and basically over like the next 4 years it spread across the whole entire United States. So now basically everywhere is what we call endemic. And initially we saw lots of cases that were highly fatal because the horses, again, had never been exposed to it, and we didn't have a vaccine for it because it wasn't a problem. But thankfully after that, a vaccine was made, and now we have multiple different vaccines for horses. And so the vaccines are highly effective, again, if they're given appropriately. And so we see less and less cases now. But a good way to kind of keep informed about what's going on around the country with infectious diseases, even West Nile, we do have a website that's managed by the American Association of Equine Practitioners, and the website's called the Equine Disease Communication Center, or EDCC for short. But if there are cases and they report those cases, then it's basically posted on the website of where the disease has been found and a little bit about how it's being managed. And thankfully with West Nile, again, horses aren't able to transmit the disease to, again, another horse or human. So we don't have to worry about quarantine, but it's always just a good thing to know, oh, okay, we're actually starting to see it in our area, making sure that our horses are up to date on vaccination.
And of course, another thing with that, is it always through mosquitoes? Is that the number one carrier, I guess
you'd say? Yep. The mosquitoes always transmit it, or what we call a vector. So again, if for West Nile virus, it is birds, and some birds show clinical signs and it's fatal in them, but other birds, they actually don't show any clinical signs, and those are the birds that's a little bit worse because they're always there with the virus, and then the mosquito is able to again transmit it to a horse. So it's always that mosquito transmission from bird to horse.
Here with Dr. Katie Delft, clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at K-State, talking West Nile virus. And you know, going back, I was really kind of guessing on that 10-15, I guess I kind of nailed it.
Close. Right on the head.
And I mean, that's really pretty amazing response, because you think about some of these things that have the response that we've had against it, something that you think's like, oh, it would something we've been working on for 50 years or something like that, but it seems like it's been a pretty comprehensive response from the equine health community, just kind of the health community across the nation, to really tackle this.
Yeah, definitely. And even when you think about it, so people can get West Nile as well, and we don't have a vaccine for people just because of the regulations involved and all of that. So we have to make sure, you know, in humans, that when we worry about West Nile virus, we're just practicing good mosquito prevention so that we hopefully don't get bit as much. And we do the same thing for horses too, is basically use some permethrin-based sprays to hopefully help prevent some mosquito bites in them or a little bit of mosquito exposure, but definitely a tricky thing to do in us as well as horses.
I thought we don't have a vaccine for humans.
Not for humans, yeah.
Yep. We got vaccines for horses faster than we did for humans.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. And thankfully, in humans, you know, we can see neurologic signs, but it tends to be kind of flu-like symptoms mostly. So, again, in some people, it is a severe disease, but thankfully, for the most part, in humans, it's relatively mild. And probably the same thing we see in horses, except that when we have those neurologic cases, those are the ones that come to mind. And sometimes we just have a horse that maybe has, again, similar like flu-like symptoms, just a fever, dull, and not eating well. And maybe we don't ever find out exactly what was causing that. But if we were to test for an antibody response, we may see that it's high in them. So again, they can have mild signs, but the ones we really worry about are those ones that have neurologic signs.
Like you said, the difference on as far as vaccines being developed for horses and vaccines developed for humans is, you said, there's just, it's not necessarily the know-how is different. It's the regulations, and there's just a lot more hoops to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a lot more hoops. We still have to go through FDA approval process with horse vaccines. And I'm not sure, you know, statistics on human disease and everything too. So maybe that had a factor into developing the vaccine for them. But it is interesting. We do have a pretty highly protective vaccine for horses at this point.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I did not know that at all. Here with Dr. Katie Delf. She's a clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at Kansas State University. Do remind folks that phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. If you do have any questions or comments, and phone did ring just a second ago. Was that for us, Dave? Nope, not for us. Not for us. But let's go ahead. Yep, let's go ahead. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk more with Dr. Katie Delf, clinical assistant professor for equine internal medicine at KSU. You're listening to In Focus. Happy Monday.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of